Welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views of Strong Tower Radio, West Central Michigan Media Ministries, or its employees.
Hello and welcome to Strong Tower Radio, the March preview. I'm your host, Tom Mazur, with co-host John Dubin. Welcome, John.
I'm here, Tom. But thanks.
That's right. Well, you need to explain that I'm in the Southern Peninsula doing my very first remote program back to the studio.
Yeah, folks. So Tom is remote control today. This is our hot and cold recording, being as it's cold here and hot down there.
I told him it's cold down here. It's 50 degrees. So.
Well, if we were in 50-degree weather, we'd be running around in shorts and a T-shirt. So that's hot.
That's true. Hey, John, would you lead us with a word of prayer?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your very many blessings, for keeping us safe, for keeping Tom safe and his family as they travel, for keeping us in a warm building and a warm home. We pray, Lord, that you bless our recording today. We pray that it is a blessing to others as they hear it. Lord, we pray that you continue to guide each and every one. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, John, let's give a kind of an overview of what we have to look forward to in the preview. I call this the TV Guide to Local Strong Tower Radio Programming. Our goal on these interview programs is to produce a new air, a new program every single week. And we do that with our feature program, our Today program, and our variety program. We've successfully done that for 8 years. I've produced almost 500 programs. And so today we have three segments. This is the preview. The first one is we overlook at our newsletter, the Ministry News, the printed version that we publish every month. And we put the author of that on the right up front in that first segment. And who is it this month, John?
We have Amy Fox. She's a blessed replacement for Sandy, and she is going to be debuting her article today.
All right. Then in our second segment, you host that with Jeremy Swanson, who is a Strong Tower Radio listener, and his journey blossomed by listening to Strong Tower Radio, brought him back to the Lord, and you did an interview about some of the ministries that he's giving back through.
Yep.
Can you tell our listeners just a little bit about that?
Well,
before we go to our third segment?
Yeah, we are going on a mission trip here in about 2 weeks, and we were talking about that and where we're going and what's happening down there, and then he shared the ministry that he and his wife Jamie are doing, and it's called House to House Ministries, and we talk about that a bit more. So stick around for the second segment to hear the rest.
Absolutely. And in our third segment, we reveal or preview Strong Tower Radio's locally produced programs for this coming month. We have a number of them that just sparkle. And then we start the resurrection programming. Many people call it Easter, but we like to call it resurrection programming. Palm Sunday is the last Sunday of the month of March, and we have over 70 hours of special programming during that week, featuring on the work that Christ did, dying for us and going to heaven and planning to come back for us. With that in mind, John, why don't you, you're the editor of the newsletter. Why don't you introduce Amy once again?
Okay. Well, Amy, what are you going to talk about today in general?
In general, it's going to be a little bit about my journey to better health, mentally, physically, spiritually. So It's starting with a little bit with my great-grandma McGee, who was from Ireland, and so I entitled it Luck of the Irish.
Well, there you go. Well, we all need better health.
Mm-hmm.
So this article really is going to hit at a good time. You know, March, we're just beginning to get dreams of spring returning, and everybody wants to get ready for summer and get in shape again from the winter gaining weight. Let's hear what great-grandmother.
Great-grandmother McGee. Well, and it's not just her. I started with her because of it being March and having a strong Irish background. And since she was full from Ireland, you know, that means that her children were at least half Irish, and not to mention great-grandpa Fox having Irish in him as well. But in our family, we strongly lean towards our Irish descent. And so I entitled it Luck of the Irish because of her, but she lived to be very active, 92-year-old, until she passed away 3 days before my fourth birthday. So I knew of her. I had seen her. I'd been held by her. How much do you remember at 4 years
old?
I'm
with you, yeah.
But she wasn't all that much bigger than me, as the article will point out. She was only 4'10", but a force to be reckoned with. But not only did she have an active lifestyle, out of four great-grandmothers, three of them lived into their 90s. She was one. Two of them to be almost 100. And so is it really luck, or is there something more going on in my gene pool?
So you said 4'10". Did you mean 4'10" or 410 pounds?
4'10". Yes, 4'10". She was definitely not 410 pounds. She was just a little thing. So, yeah, the one picture that I remember the most is the one that hung on my grandfather's wall for years, and now my eldest sister has, and she has a white cat in her lap who is almost half her size.
Wow.
She's a tiny lady.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
That is okay. So, you know, part of the journey is I had had a child, which isn't part of the article, a child who lived to be, when I had him, he lived only 41 minutes. So I think part of my overweightness was possibly part of that depression. But I was watching my sisters. I'm the youngest of four girls. And they had gone to the table at a certain time of the day with my father, which they had done for the last couple days because we were doing a family get together. And the reason they did this was because they are all diabetic. My father has since passed. But I looked at that. I wasn't 40 yet. And I looked at that and I'm like, I do not want to be there when I'm their ages. There's from the oldest to the youngest, there's 8 years and 10 days. So everybody's between that. And I didn't want to be diabetic in 8 years or 6 years or 3 years. I did not want to ever be diabetic if I could avoid it. And I knew, having been learning more about being Seventh-day Adventist, because I wasn't brought up that way, that we have a health message. And I started studying that health message more than I ever had before. And so it wasn't just diet, it wasn't just exercise, it wasn't just spiritual, it's the whole being. And so I go through my journey of being a voracious meat eater. I could even eat Dad under the table. It was just I ate a lot of meat. I just loved the stuff, and you know, don't mix my food. I didn't like stew because the carrots made the meat taste weird, and to this day, I do not really care for cooked carrots for that reason. But I like raw carrots, raw vegetables. So it's just a journey going through that. Seeing what God had said in his Bible, in his word, and, you know, what not to eat meat-wise. And so my first journey was leaving off meat. First, the unclean, because it was obvious.
Mm-hmm.
The second was, you know, having meat altogether. Now, there are many people who eat meat or who have eaten meat or even unclean meat that they're going to be in heaven someday. But when I'm going on my journey and this is the way God is telling me to go,
mm-hmm.
if, you know, if he tells you to do something, you don't do it, it's considered sin.
Because, so was dropping meat tough for you?
It was a journey. It was a journey. It took years, but as I added things, I didn't have enough room for all the meat I had been eating. Adding the good stuff doesn't leave room for much in your tummy
mm-hmm.
left for eating meat. And I was learning about legumes and any other protein-rich foods that replace and actually do better than the meat that I was eating.
Right.
So, but I definitely grew up meat, potatoes, and vegetable. I mean, that's the way it was. That's the way we subsisted. We fished, we hunted, and that's how we survived. I remember that from a very young age. But God had put it on my heart that you don't have to do this type of thing anymore. And to help you through your journey in life, you need to be more clear-headed. But what finally took the meat away altogether was COVID, of all things. You know, it was actually kind of a blessing in our household because the last things that I had that were the Friday night fish fries, which are really big where I come from, and in a lot of places, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And when I knew I had to be as healthy as I needed to be for my husband, who has respiratory issues, and we all know that COVID dealt
right.
with respiratory issues,
right.
I knew I had to do the best I could for my family not to get sick. So that was the last fish, the last dairy, the last anything as a regular part of my diet was gone by March 17 of 2020.
Praise the Lord.
So it was interesting. That was March 17. I keep thinking about it because my husband, during the month of March, would consistently bring me one shake per week because I told him, I can't do this every week, but it was a shamrock shake every week for the month of March. Kind of a tradition with Dad and I going to McDonald's in Marquette, because that was the closest one at the time to get a shamrock shake in Big Mac on St. Patty's Day. So, but I realized that that was a memory that I could never bring back, no matter how many shamrock shakes and
right.
Big Macs that I ate. It's a memory I still enjoy.
Sure.
But can't bring him back, can't bring that back, but I will always have the memories of my father and I driving to Marquette from Newberry.
So off air, you mentioned that you've got a sister that's made some changes.
I do. My eldest sister, who we lovingly call Sam in the family, that's not her real name from birth, but that's what we call her. And she's been making some changes too. And at one point, she was talking about it with my sisters at a different family function. It was my mother's 80th birthday, and another sister asked her, well, why are you going to make all these changes? And she kind of threw her vial at her, and she says, because I don't want to do this for the rest of my life. And I was just so pleased to hear that, and she has been making changes. She has lost quite a bit of weight, and I'm just so proud of her. She's my big little sister. She's the shortest of all of us, kind of taken after Great-Grandma McGee in that area. But I've just been very pleased to be able to be a part of that and encourage her through it.
So what would you tell people if they're in a position and they want to start changing, what advice would you give them?
Well, through my studies and listening to different people, first of all, you need to ask for wisdom, because when you're doing these things, you'll get a lot of advice. And so you do need to ask God for wisdom and discernment so that you know where to go for that. And one other piece of advice that I have is that it doesn't matter what age you are, because like I said, between oldest and youngest, she just started her journey, and my journey has been for several, well, over a decade, almost two now.
Right.
You can start at any age. And that was really the neatest thing that I heard through studying and watching certain videos, that at any age you can turn things around. People that were in their 70s turned their life around. Diabetes, no more. Heart disease, no more. These are things that can happen. And by God's grace and his leading, they can happen in anybody's life. It doesn't happen to everybody, but it certainly is going to be better than it is.
And it takes work.
It takes work. It takes fortitude in God's leading. The very biggest thing is, well, how do you find time to exercise? I said, by God's grace. That's where it came from, because I was trying to figure that out too.
Absolutely.
But then, you know, half an hour turned into an hour, and there were times that, you know, during stressful days after work, I would sometimes even close the joint. They closed at 9, and I got off work at 5:30 and was dressed by 6 for working out, and I would work out 3 hours. I don't recommend that every day, but and I didn't do it every day.
Right.
But that was something I was able to do once in a while when I needed to, and that was more actually not for physical, but for mental.
Sure.
But an hour a day was what I normally did. Went home and did things around the house. You just work it in. Somehow God works it out, just like he takes, you know, 90%, and you go farther with that, with the tithe. Mm-hmm. You go farther with that, with your time, if you give it to him and have a testimony. It's like, don't keep it to yourself. Share with people. And, you know, if they ask for advice, give it to them.
So, Amy, you mentioned that you gave up the fish fries and during COVID. How has your health improved in the last 6 years?
In the last 6 years, well, it's hard to say as far as any more improvement, because everything was so gradual. And like I said, fish fries, meat was not a regular portion anymore. So it's hard to say with the fish fries gone what it would be, because that might be the one or two meal that I had during the entire month that had some sort of animal product in it. So that was just the last thing. Those were just the last things that I had to give up because I wanted to make sure. And what was funny is that I didn't realize, not so much with the fish, Tom, but with the dairy, how much better I could breathe, how much clearer my head was. That's where I noticed it. It wasn't so much the fish, it was the dairy. And I do notice that if I am doing something like a potluck with somebody, they'll, you know, if I take something, I'm not going to say, you know, it's like, what's in this? I'll eat it thinking, well, it could be dairy, but you don't take as much. And I can still feel that. So it's like, okay, I had dairy today, but that's okay because I was with people, like-minded people, and it was all good. You weren't being judgmental. You didn't put anybody down, and
that helps.
The God, our God is so gracious that he got me through that just fine.
And praise the Lord.
I think it's just remembering. It's like, Amy, this is not something you want to go back to.
I think
that's kind of what he does. Right. This is something you don't want to go back to. And some people can tolerate dairy a lot more than I could. I didn't realize I wasn't tolerating it.
Well, thank you so much, Amy. This is Amy Fox. She's the office manager here. Mm-hmm. At Strong Tower Radio. And listeners, if you've had any questions, she she often is at the phone here at Strong Tower Radio. The number is 231-468-2087. That's 231-468-2087. And you can call her. She's there most of the time. Once in a while, she goes on a mail run, but to pick up the mail for Strong Tower Radio. But thank you so much for sharing your story, Amy.
Thank you.
In our next segment, John Duman is going to interview with a Strong Tower Radio listener who has grown closer to God by listening and is now giving back by going to El Salvador multiple times and doing a house-to-house ministry. Stay tuned for John Duman's interview after this break.
Many people make New Year's resolutions about things to improve their physical health. Eat more vegetables, start exercising, stop smoking, etc. If followed through, such changes have the power to literally add years to your life. But have you ever considered making spiritual resolutions too? Good spiritual habits like regular time in prayer, faithful church attendance, and daily Bible study can not only add quality to your life right now, but most importantly can establish a faith in Christ that will extend your life into eternity. If you want to turn over a new spiritual leaf in the coming year, why not commit to studying the Bible? Visit BibleStudyOffer.com and sign up for your free lessons today. You can receive lessons and study on your own, or a local representative will be happy to study with you, all completely free of charge. Visit www.BibleStudyOffer.com today.
Welcome back. This is John Doom with Strong Tower Radio, and I'm here with Jeremy Swanson from House to House Ministries from the Cadillac Area Church. Jeremy, why are we here today?
Well, we're here to discuss our upcoming mission trip to El Salvador on March 12th.
And we are both, including your wife and the other people we've got involved, are all excited about it.
Yeah, there's about 11 of us from the Cadillac area, and all together, I think there's going to be about 60 on this group.
I mean, smaller than normal. Because the last probably 4 or 5 years, we'd have upwards of 150 people, so this is going to be a smaller group than we're used to.
Yeah, the first time I went, I think it was 160, so that was a much bigger group.
Yeah. So to give you guys a little bit of an idea of where it is that we go, there were a couple named Orly and Lillian Ford who were missionaries in Central America. And a little history on that. They were in Peru from 1918 to 1921. From there, they went to Ecuador from 1921 to 1931. And then they went to Guatemala from 1931 to 1942. And they were in Costa Rica from 1942 to 1945. And then from the rest of the time, they were in Central America, they were in El Salvador from 1945 until 1972, and both died and were buried in El Salvador. Now that leads us to where we're going, and that is ECAS, which is an academy in El Salvador, and they bought the property for that, and it was built in the 80s. Now, in our case, we started staying there when we were working in churches in our mission trips. And then we realized pretty quickly on that since the 80s, the buildings and the location at the academy was pretty rough. So we started putting time in, repainting, rebuilding, giving the academy and the local conference monies to be able to do upgrades. And they did a great job doing that. While we were there, and you came in at the dedication, we had enough money put together from various donors to build a university on the campus. And the reason that that was built was because if you graduated from the academy there in El Salvador and you wanted to go to college, you had to go to Costa Rica. That was the closest Adventist college. So now they have a university that is yet to actually start, I believe, but it's on campus and it's local, and they'll be able to go right to college, which is a great thing. All right, so Jeremy, you and your wife are House to House Ministries. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. So in 2024, I went to my first trip. My pastor, Pastor Ariel, was part of one of the early trips and getting the college, like the groundbreaking of the college. So he was invited back to go to the dedication. And, you know, him being a good pastor, he was like, well, who can I bring? And so I was one of the guys that he thought of, and that was my first trip. We were only there for basically a long weekend, but it really touched my heart.
I think primarily you guys were there to suss out church building locations, right?
Yeah, we were there primarily for the dedication, obviously, but secondarily to sponsor a church that needed a building.
Okay. And had the church or anyone sponsored this coming church, this build church?
Yes, we ended up raising the money for it, and last year we went back and dedicated that church that we helped finance.
That is one of the really cool things I find about these trips is when someone sponsors a church, we typically get to go and visit that church a year later, whether it's completed or not, and to do a dedication, and that is really special, getting to know these people.
Yeah, I'm excited to go back this year and see which church we go to dedicate this year.
Well, I don't know if this will be the case or not, but my family sponsored a church, and if we can get there, that'll be at least one option for us to visit.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. Okay, so what does House to House Ministries do?
So what we do is kind of branching off of what they have already been doing in El Salvador of finding sponsors to build churches, and also to, as part of reach out ministries, to sponsor children that need funds for to go to an Adventist school. I kind of took that idea, and because I wanted to do something in missions. I knew from the very get-go that I wanted to do something in missions, and I didn't know where I could fit in. And it just so happened that it kind of fell into my lap almost. And this idea of, you know, yes, building a church is great, but what happens to those churches in El Salvador that might need, they don't need a new building, they have a building, but maybe it was a house before a church. So they need some remodeling done, some walls taken down. And also not only just providing finances for those things, but how can we get other people from America to be involved in short-term missions, not only with their money, but also being able to go on short-term mission trips and actually do the work themselves.
We should probably tell you that Reach Out Ministries, as Jeremy mentioned, was the ministry that allows us to go to El Salvador. And that group, they were asked to, I believe, build 50 churches or something like that, and they agreed to go in there. And then very shortly after, the inhabitants of El Salvador saw how quickly and how well they put together, they asked him to build 100, and then the last I heard it was over 200. And as of 2 years ago, they had reached 150 churches that they'd built. So it's an interesting and impressive ministry. Okay, Jeremy, you mentioned that your ministry was going to aim itself anyway, for the most part, in helping existing churches and whatever needs that they might have that might be being overlooked at this point.
Yeah, so a lot of the time, you know, what we like to shoot for is the big, fancy, shiny thing, which is the new, brand new building.
Yeah, that's true.
It's super exciting, you know, to get involved and to see a project go from nothing to a full building. But a lot of the time what happens with that is the existing churches that have needs get overlooked. And so, for example, we just did a small trip with House to House Ministries in August, and we were at a church that has been meeting in that at that location for 5 years without a bathroom. So we went down for a week, a small missions group. I think there was 12 of us, and we did the block work for the bathrooms, the plumbing. We dug the septic tanks where they would be, the holes for the septic tanks, by hand. We lowered the tanks in by hand. And we also were able to do a dental clinic for 3 days and a VBS program every day of the week, so 5 days a week.
Wow.
So it was a fantastic time. And it's projects like those that, like I said, they just sometimes get overlooked. And that's what we're looking to fill that need. And also with that, being able to offer smaller trips, you know, 5 days, not counting travel, where, you know, small groups, 10, 15, 20 people from different churches can come and actually do the work themselves and not just give money.
It's interesting. We probably should point out the fact that these churches that we build when we're down there, they have been sponsored by someone, typically here in the States. Your average church in El Salvador runs about $10,000 for materials, and that includes concrete, blocks, a steel roof, and not really much more than that. And our mission trip here in March, we go in and we get as far as we can blocking up a church. We may get to the point where they're putting the steel on, but after that, it's kind of up to the locals to finish it up. So that gives you guys an idea what we're talking about. So you mentioned off air here that your ministry is working on scholarships for students.
Yeah, so we were approached by one of the locals in El Salvador who's on the board of a school. It's a different school from ECAS, and there was a few kids that had needs. A lot of them were parents' health issues. They couldn't work anymore, or, you know, unfortunately, in some cases their parents have died, and they're living with relatives, and they just can't afford it anymore. So we were approached, and we were asked to see if we could find sponsors for these kids for the upcoming school year, which for them starts in January. And of course, we prayed about it, and we said we think we can do something, so let's do it. And we actually reached out partially. We sponsored a couple kids through other means, and we had 5 kids left. So we approached the Cadillac Church, where we're members of, and each Sabbath school is sponsoring a child.
Praise the Lord.
So it's $640 a year for these kids. They're elementary, middle school age. And that covers everything, books, uniforms, their meals while they're at school. It's relatively inexpensive to go to school down there.
Oh, it is. Yeah, definitely. So I'm guessing then that you intend to try to get the church involved with the continuing scholarship of these particular 7 students, plus adding more if you can.
Yeah, we would love to. We're more than blessed to be Americans in many ways, but financially is one of those ways. Yeah. For example, in El Salvador, road construction worker working 10, 12-hour days in El Salvador, they make $19 a day. So the disparity in poverty is huge.
Yeah. It's absolutely amazing.
And on the plus side for us, it's nice because we can afford to do more there.
Right.
But for them, their needs are that much more.
Yeah, absolutely. So in addition to scholarships for students, what do you see the ministry doing as far as El Salvador or other countries?
So right now we're hoping to get a Bible worker in El Salvador to help plant other churches and come alongside existing churches where they might have a need. The church that we worked with in August, they actually had a Bible worker that was sponsored by a bigger church in El Salvador. So it's kind of hard to describe El Salvador. So Michigan has a population of about 11 million. El Salvador has a population of about 4 to 6 million, somewhere in there, but it's only a quarter of the size. So in terms of space, Michigan has around 200 churches. Just in one city in El Salvador, their capital, they have 190, just in one city. So they're very limited with pastors and Bible workers and things like that as well. So we thought we could come in and help in that area as well.
Oh, praise the Lord. So Jeremy, we talked about your hopes that in the future you can do mission trips. Now, how long are we talking? Because when I was growing up in church and I heard of missionaries, I always had this impression that, you know, people from this country or whatever would travel to a foreign country and they were there for years. You know, I didn't ever think I could be a missionary for that reason.
Right. So you have, so the trip that we will be going on in March, on March 12th, that's a 10-day trip counting travel days. So generally what I've done to make it easier for more people to be able to participate, because it's hard to take off work for long periods of time.
It is.
So what I thought of was doing basically 5-day mission trips. So you'd have a travel day at the beginning, 5 days of work, a travel day at the end. So you're only missing out on 1 week of work instead of taking 12 days off of work or whatever it may be.
Right.
So I've tried to be accommodating in that respect, but I wouldn't mind doing longer mission trips, you know, 10-day mission trips. But right now I'm really focused on those 7-day, 6-day mission trips to where we can really do the most amount in that shorter period of time with a smaller group. So logistically it's easier, and just kind of moving forward that way.
So we could technically call these project mission trips?
Yes. So I'm actually, later this year, I'm hoping to make a trip to El Salvador to specifically scout out projects to where in the future you'll be able to go to our website, housetohouseministries.com, and click on that specific mission project, read all about it, and then you can either contact us to, you know, have a short-term mission trip if your whole church wants to sponsor the whole project and, you know, you have 10 or 12 people that would like to go on a short-term mission trip. I can arrange all that. Or if you just want to donate, you can donate to specific projects as well.
Right on your website.
Right on the website.
All right. That sounds great. As far as the scholarships, do you or can you donate for scholarships on your website?
Yes, you can donate specifically to scholarships as well. That should all be updated here. Most likely it'll have a brief story of each individual kid as well.
That'd be great.
Yeah. So
excellent. All right. So we're coming down to the end of our time here. Why don't we pray about your ministry and about our upcoming mission trip and the hope that we can get other people interested.
Yeah. Before we pray, I'd like to read this quote from Gospel Workers, page 351. It says, "The work of God in this earth can never be finished until the men and women comprising our church membership rally to the work and unite their efforts with those of ministers and church officers." So as we close here, I'd just like to remind everyone that it's not always up to our pastors or our missionaries. We're all to be missionaries, and we are all to help those pastors and missionaries work alongside them and help grow the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day, and I thank you for the opportunity to be here to spread the word of what you have put on my heart. And I pray that it speaks to each one of these listeners, and I pray that they will find it in their heart and listen to your call, whether that be short-term missions, donating, or just being involved more in their local church. I pray that you just please fill us with your spirit, guide us and use us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And we are about to take a break, but don't go away too far because there is one more section to this program. We'll be back soon.
The Bible and God's character are under attack like never before. Here at Strong Tower Radio, we are proud to hold up the Bible as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We believe the Bible is the Word of God and contains the good news of God's character and His great plan of salvation for mankind. If you know and believe this to be true, won't you help Strong Tower Radio proclaim the truth about our God and His Word, the Bible? To do that, go to www.strongtowerradio.org and there, on our secure website, you will find a donate button. Click on that and give as the Lord directs. Thank you for listening and supporting Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed.
We're back with Strong Tower Radio today, the March reveal or preview. And in our first segment, we talked with Amy Fox, the Strong Tower Radio office manager, about her life, how it's improved health-wise. And then in the second, John talked with Jeremy Swanson. He is a Strong Tower Radio listener. He came closer to the Lord, and he's going back out and ministering. He's been doing mission work in El Salvador. They're going out this month to do it again. They just love the ministry, and they also have a house-to-house ministry. And now we're talking about the preview of this month, and I'm going to start from the bottom. John, I'm going to start from the end of the month, and it'll work backwards.
Okay, sounds good.
Good. Hey, listen, it's Resurrection Week is at the end of this month, Palm Sunday. It's hard to believe that the Easter season is coming. We have four big programs that we do every year, the Resurrection Week. In the spring, we do the Reformation Month, educating people on the true principles of the Bible and going back to the Bible, soul scriptural. And then we have the Thanksgiving programming and the Christmas program. But now we're talking about that resurrection program, 70 hours over 8 days of focusing on the death, resurrection, and continuing work and the second coming of Christ. Many of our dear Christian friends, they stop at the resurrection. They don't move forward. The whole purpose of the resurrection is to take us to heaven and to live eternally with Jesus.
Right. That's the way they've been trained.
That's the way. We want to expand the version. We have this in common as Christians, but we want to open up the aperture. And so there's a number of programs we have. These are classic programs. What we're talking about there is the long view, is the resurrection, then, now, and in the future. That's what the Pastor Jay Gallimore talks about, the plan of salvation, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and going into eternity. And then we also have the 8 days that change the world. That just zeroes in. It kicks off on Palm Sunday and looks at what we know by studying history, the scriptures, and historical documents to find out what happened that week that changed the world, where Jesus gave that ultimate sacrifice for the death, for our sins, for our salvation. And there is interesting things that happen every single day. It's like this day in history, John.
It's very interesting as well.
Absolutely. And coupled with that, in that same hour, we broadcast this twice in a day. So if you miss the one episode of it, you can catch it later on in the day, is a dramatized version of the last week of Christ from looking over the city, Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry through the week, the various things that happened, the trial on Thursday, the crucifixion on Friday, and Jesus' death, resting in the tomb, and rising on Sunday. That's dramatized. It just brings it to life. 3ABN has a special resurrection programming on it. On that week, we're going to be broadcasting, and there's other programming that is just as powerful, and you'll enjoy it all week long. 70 hours, and then it just goes into full gear starting at noon on Good Friday. Good Friday through Sunday is almost completely focused on the death, resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a glorious time. And then we throw in some of those variety hours that we've done through the years. It's one of the popular programs that we have on the resurrection that we've done in various locations around the country. And, John, you were a part of many of those.
Yes, I was.
Recording of them.
Yes, I
was. And we did them. Did them in Grand Rapids, Ionia, and different areas around the state, and we saved those classic programs.
Yes.
Well, the other thing that we may want to look at is our preview of what we're looking at here at Strong Tower Radio this month. We went down to Ohio. Now, some of you have heard about the McGuffey Reader. That was a reader. It was kind of like the first reading series, the first textbooks. They had books in school for generations and years, maybe 100 years or so. But Dr. William McGuffey was an elementary school teacher. He eventually became a college teacher, and he saw there was a lack in the education system. So he published in 1836. This book we talk about grades today. You know, we're very familiar here in the United States. There's first grade through eighth grade, even through, you know, the 12th grade, which is the senior, your freshman, sophomore, junior, senior. But there was a systematic way of learning. When he first started, John, if you went into different parts of the country, a word may be spelled different in one part of the country than the other. There is a different usage of grammar, and this McGuffey Reader became so prevalent. It was such a good textbook that school systems across the country adopted this. And ultimately, 20 million copies of this McGuffey Reader were published over almost 100 years, up into the early 1900s. They were still being used in schools. And John, did you know that some homeschoolers still see the value in the McGuffey Reader, and they're still being printed? They've been reprinted.
That's amazing.
And what's interesting, what many of the homeschoolers enjoy about it, it has a lot of Christian values and virtues. This book, they called it eclectic because not only did it teach spelling, not only did it teach grammar, but it also taught literature. And it would have literature taken directly from the Bible. Some of the classic parts of the Bible were incorporated in this reader. There was even Shakespeare and character-building stories, just like your story hour that we have here on Strong Tower Radio, that he would incorporate those. It would have virtues of honesty, kindness, and hard work, and other values, trying to form the society into a positive. He actually went on to become a pastor, and he pastored churches and preached sermons every single week. So he was a very notable person, and you can order those books online, and a summarized version of it you can even buy at Walmart. Now, if that isn't the ultimate of availability, There's not, that's, it's just truly a classic. And what we did is we went down to where the college, Miami University, Miami of Ohio University, just north of Cincinnati, and interviewed the curator of the McGuffey House there on that campus of Miami University at Oxford in Ohio. And then we've also went down to the U of M. Actually, it was Michigan Technical University that's in Ann Arbor. And these are people who take the technology and make practical applications. The person we interviewed takes satellite information and applies it to various things around the country, making railroad crossings safer, lines of sight, elevations. They're even making bridges. They've developed ways to take a sonar device and find out if a bridge, the abutments that hold up a bridge, use sonar to find out if it's been undercut and the bridge may not no longer be safe. And so they can test this without and to avoid accidents and failures of bridges. Also, devices that can run across the bridge at 30, 40 miles an hour and tell if the bridge is starting to decay on the inside, delaminate. You know, with salt that we have here in Michigan, it's very corrosive and damaging to bridges. And it used to take them a half a day to try to do this technology. They can do a rolling, just rolling over the bridge with the sensor can tell you to discover this. And it was just a wonderful journey. And this month we're going to be talking with the representative from the National Fire Prevention Association. And this month, Sparky, the fire prevention dog, his birthday is being celebrated, who's helped brought fire safety to children for generations. So we're going to be talking about that. We also have a Christian musician that produces work in both the secular and sacred world. And Kendra Maynor produced this. She was a producer in film, and she is now volunteering with us doing voice talent work. And this is her first radio production and co-hosting. We had fun doing that together. And so we also have Farm Stew. Farm Stew is a non-governmental Christian relief and training organization that works around the world with local people, does tremendous work, and uses biblical principles and helping people to become self-sustaining and to get out of the rut of poverty and disease, that is using those laws of health that we have heard. They make it into farm stew, which is similar to the other health principles taught here on Strong Tower Radio. And it's done with many indigenous people. People who live in the community can relate to them. They do it at a low cost and have a high return on improved health among Native people. And then we're continuing that series on the child impacts human trafficking. We did the first two previously. We're resuming that eight-part series. We're talking about global. The first episode is going to be talking about the foster care system. Unfortunately, people, children who age out of that, a certain age, the foster system no longer takes care of them. Kicks them out, and right there within weeks, even before these young people leave the foster care system, there are human traffickers who target them and recruit them within weeks of being released through this aging out of the system. And so we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about global sex trafficking, And we'll also talk about labor trafficking around the world. And then that's even in our backyard. And then we talk about the heartbreaking situation of child brides, underage marrying of young people, and the disappointing things that happen in that particular scenario. So, John, that is just a flavor of some of the things that we have coming up this month on Strong Tower Radio.
Well, that sounds very exciting, Tom. And we don't want any of you to miss the last week of March, where it's Resurrection Week. We have a lot of programming going on then.
Absolutely. And as what we talked about earlier, we have 70-plus hours of resurrection programming starting Palm Sunday, the last Sunday of March. It hardly seems that it's almost that time again, but it's a blessed time that we can focus on the death, resurrection, and the work that Christ is doing for us now, and the fact that he's coming back to save us in the future. It's a fun week. John, we look forward to it every year.
Yes, we do.
And don't forget that we had Amy in the first segment, that the ministry news will be released in just days. It'll be on our website. You can look at it at strongtowerradio.org and look for newsletter. But you can also read portions of it in our weekly newsletter, which is News and Views. And you can review that on the homepage of Strong Tower Radio. And finally, all these programs, if you happen to miss them when they aired the first time, these Strong Tower Radio produced programs, they are archived on our archives tab across the top of the page. You look for those particular programs and you can hear those fine points that, John, we always miss a couple points. Oh, that was such a good one. I missed a couple things. Or that was so good. I don't know how to say it the same way that they said it, or some of the facts that maybe Dr. Evans shared about the issues of human trafficking or other important things. So you can always go to the strongtowerradio.org audio archives, and or you can just look at the front page, the home page of Strong Tower Radio, and find out what the newsletter had to say for this past week.
That's what it's on the website for.
That's right. Well, John, thank you so much. Always look forward to these preview programs so that we can give our listeners that full month's view going forward, and what to look forward to on Strong Tower Radio, and also share it with a friend and say, join me. There's some great programs coming on this week, next week, or all month long. So that's a great blessing. And John, thank you so much for the work you do with the ministry news.
You're welcome. Thank you for what you do, Tom.
Thank you. Well, this has been Strong Tower Radio Today program, the preview. And until next time, God bless. Bye now.